You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Zach Lopnow about the results of the recent survey of early career equine veterinarians created by the AAEP Early Career Committee. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2026 by Care Credit. Dr. Zach Lopnow is a Minnesota native who grew up on his family's successful show pig farm. He completed a Bachelor of Science in Animal Science at the University of Minnesota, followed by earning his DVM from Minnesota's College of Veterinary Medicine in 2017. After graduation, he did an internship at Anoka Equine, where he stayed on as an associate for three more years. During this time, his love for surgery grew and eventually led him down a path toward becoming a board-certified surgeon. He left private practice to complete another internship at Iowa State University's Lloyd Large Animal Hospital, after which he was accepted into a residency in equine surgery at Steinbeck Peninsula Equine Clinics in Salinas, California. After completing his residency, he accepted a position as the surgeon at Stillwater Equine Veterinary Clinics in Stillwater, Minnesota. His professional interests lie in arthroscopic and soft tissue surgeries. He has published multiple academic papers and been a contributing writer for equine veterinary textbooks. Dr. Lopnow is an accomplished speaker presenting nationally at the AAEP and ACVS annual conferences, regional CE events, and to students at multiple veterinary schools across the country. Outside of his career, Dr. Lopnow has been joyfully married to his wife, Krista, since 2018, and together they enjoy traveling to national parks, hiking, cooking, and spending time with family and friends. Dr. Lopnow is still very active in his family's show pig operation and occasionally accompanies his father to national shows. Welcome, Dr. Lopnow.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Grice. I appreciate it and appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
So the AAEP Early Career Committee recently surveyed AAEP members who graduated in about the last 10 years. Tell us about the survey demographics. Who were you reaching out to?
Yeah, so this was a 12-question survey that we did to follow up on a State of the Equine Practice survey done around 5 years ago by the AAEP to kind of evaluate some of the progress that we feel like maybe has been made by some of the sustainability initiatives that the AAEP put in place. We had, of the veterinarians we sent it out to, again, we were targeting those first 10 years out of school and in practice. We had a total of 446 veterinarians that responded to this survey, so a decent number that came through, and we got a good cross-section of the industry, we felt like. We had around 60% of our respondents that were doing a 100% equine-only caseload, with around three-fourths of them actually being caseload that was at least 75% equine. So these respondents were people that really were involved in equine veterinary medicine to a significant degree and really had kind of an idea of what's going on in the profession. We had, you know, a number of other people that were still involved in mixed caseloads or partially involved with the equine practice, but having around, you know, 75% of our respondents really, really having the bulk of their work being equine veterinary medicine felt like we got a really good cross-section of what's going on in this profession. We had around 60% of the respondents that were in a group practice, with around 60% of those offering hospital and ambulatory services, with only 3% that were in a group practice that only had hospital services. So again, trying to catch a good amount of the ambulatory component of this as well. I think one of the probably most interesting parts of the demographics that came from this survey was the percentage of respondents that were in solo practice. We only had about 17% of our respondents that were in solo ambulatory positions, which was a significant drop from the 38% that was seen in earlier surveys. In the 2016 AVMA AAP Equine Economics Survey, and then again in the 2021 State of Equine Veterinary Practice Survey. Now, those surveys didn't necessarily adjust for specific demographics with the 10 years early career practitioner window. So that may be reflective in that, why there was a drop in the solo ambulatory practitioner percentage. It could also just be reflective of the challenges of solo practice and that their time is very, very precious and may not have a lot of that to fill out surveys. So we don't know exactly why.
It's actually really interesting that you found that, because in the 2024 AVMA AAEP Equine Economic Survey, like 63-62% of respondents were solo. So I don't know if we're just reaching different, like, I don't know.
Yes.
But it's very interesting, and it may be because of the it's only that 10-year piece.
It is, and
I don't know.
I do think that there's a worthwhile component of that to think about in whether or not that solo ambulatory practitioner is really more of a later career position, and maybe we're not catching that with the young veterinarians in those first 10 years out of school. But that's maybe a role that these practitioners transition into later in their career when they're more confident in their skills, or when they feel like they have things that they want to do and accomplish on their own as a business owner. And that could be part of where we're seeing that change. But it was definitely a very interesting drop in the numbers compared to those other surveys.
I thought so too.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
So it sounds pretty interesting. What did you all find were the most compelling results, and what do you think they mean?
Yeah, I think overall we felt like the results of this survey came back with a generally positive viewpoint from these early career practitioners on the state of veterinary medicine and equine veterinary medicine in particular. Some of the highlights that came out, the conversation about well-being in our profession has increased, and increased to a point where it's a much more comfortable topic to bring up in conversation. It's something that these early career practitioners are not afraid about addressing and advocating for themselves. Around 2/3 of our respondents felt like that overall state of the equine practice has improved in the last five years. And again, I think that's reflective of the AEP's push and dedication of resources to creating a sustainable culture, sustainable environment around equine veterinary practice with their sustainability initiatives that, while we have not seen the full payoff of those investments yet, we're starting to see some of the early returns come back as overall positive change in the industry with those initiatives. The increase in comfort around those conversations include, work-life balance, more opportunities for that peer-to-peer communication about work, about professional life, about business questions. Additionally, there's been a significant increase, and I've seen it personally and professionally since I started in practice to now, of compensation and salaries in equine practice going up and starting to be more competitive with our small animal counterparts, to the point where we can use that as not something that we have to explain away in order to get somebody into this profession, but something that we can say, this is, commensurate with what you're getting in small animal, and may not yet be a recruiting point for us, but it's not a problem point or a pain point as much as it used to be for turning people away from the profession too.
Gotcha.
I think the other interesting thing that came out of this survey was the quantification that we had in the change of jobs and early career practitioners. I think we all had an idea that in those first 5 to 10 years of practice, people moved around, people were trying to find their spot. They were, taking different jobs or changing jobs at probably a higher rate than you maybe saw later in a career or later in a veterinarian's life journey. But seeing some of the numbers around that was really interesting. The average number of jobs for the early career practitioners that responded to this survey in their first 10 years was 2.5 jobs in the first 10 years. So they're moving, you know, an average of at least two times, if not three times or more for some people, to different jobs. And the other part that was that fed into that was the amount of time that was spent in each one of those jobs. So on average, the time in a position for these early career practitioners was around 2 years, which is a short timeline. It's not, you know, it's not like I think we're maybe used to of someone getting 3, 4, 5 years in a practice and then deciding to go a different route. And I think practice owners, this is probably the most important information for them when they're talking about retention of these new employees. And the most important part of this conversation is that that average amount of time of 2 years in a position before making a change really speaks to how they or the window of time that they have to make an impact on these practitioners. These new graduates, when you look at them coming into a job, you don't have 2 or 3 years to make an impression. You have 12 to 18 months for a new graduate to decide if they want to remain where they are before they start looking for something new, assuming they're going to take 6 months to a year to find a new position and all the logistics of moving. You have about a year, year and a half to really make an impact on that veterinarian and show them why they should stay with your company. So it really puts an emphasis on creating a sustainable culture, creating a sustainable environment inside of your practice that goes beyond the excitement of the recruiting part, the excitement of signing something new, and some of the novelty of starting a new position. It's that transition into what can I sustain over the course of time, and that window is a lot shorter, I think, than what we really thought it was.
I think that's also kind of very hard for practice owners because it is about the two-year mark where an associate sometimes has hit their stride and they're starting to produce the amount of revenue that would support the higher salaries that are now need to be offered in order to even attract somebody to a position. So I think what you're saying about the importance of having mentoring and a great culture and support and those conversations, you know, all of that, if you don't have that, right about the time you're going to be finally not bleeding a little bit, to have somebody, if you don't have those things, they're gone. So important. That's great information.
Yeah, no, I think it really is. And it's, you know, it really, again, goes back to the emphasis of this can't just be window dressing. You know, we can't make these positions look really attractive on paper and not have the follow through afterwards, because you don't have the time to prove that over the course of several years. You need to show right away that what you put on paper and what you have for recruiting these new veterinarians is truly what's there and what's sustainable for them, because they're not going to wait it out for it.
Gotcha. So what pain points did the respondents talk about? Like what are the things that are still out there that are causing issues?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we're still early in this process and early in seeing some of the results of these sustainability initiatives and the change that was made by the AEP. So I would say these pain points that came up are something that is not necessarily something that isn't changing at all, but maybe something that hasn't seen the full payoff for it. There was a fair amount of people that still responded with there being a climate of resistance to change in the profession. You know, I think we all are struggle with change in our lives in any form. And especially if you've been doing something for not just several years, but several decades, that makes change even harder. And that was kind of the common thread that came through with these respondents. Around 7% of respondents said that doing an internship made them less likely to remain in practice, which is down from what it was, but still shows that there's room for improvement in there. I think there's still a generation gap within this to a degree. You know, that was, I think there's still this prevailing idea among older veterinarians that there's issues with the young generation of veterinarians, or they're harder to manage, or they don't work as well. You know, pick your anecdote, whatever you want to put right in there. You hear it all the time. You know, it's something you hear at mixers, at AEP, or whatever it is. And I think the younger veterinarians are not blind to that either, right? Like, the younger veterinarians know those opinions are out there. They've heard those opinions. They've heard them said, whether it's been to their face or not, they know that those feelings are out there. And so that older generation of veterinarians, I think, is making progress and making change, but that still seems to be some of the sticking points for change inside of the industry. And I think that's just part of the nature of generational gaps in any profession, right? There are going to be those that early adopt change, and there's going to be those that hold out until the bitter end, you know, the ones that are, yeah, are still, you know, using the old flip phone cell phone, and those that bought the iPhone the first time it came out the gate, right? Like, there are those that are going to hang on until the bitter end. And so that's part of what we realize is going to have to be something that's, if not necessarily tolerated within the system, at least understood that there has to be patience with that, if that makes sense to it.
Right.
And something that will continue to change given the course of time. Other pain points that came up, demands of client expectations is kind of a large pain point for a lot of these younger veterinarians as well. There's this feeling that we have this stretched workforce and veterinarians are not necessarily wanting to devote their entire existence to being available to clients 24/7. But I think that the advent of social media, telemedicine, you know, cell phones, internet, whatever you want to name, has made this idea in clients' head and this culture in clients' head that there needs to be constant contact and constant availability. And part of that goes back to some of our marketing strategies in the last 10 to 15 years. You know, you think about the constant contact emails. Well, we've made a point as per practices to be in constant contact with clients and remind them that we're here all the time. And I think that's created a little bit of a two-headed monster of clients that also say, well, I'm here all the time too, and you need to be available for me. And that's something that I think still has to balance, and that pendulum is still figuring out where it rests in terms of the swing back and forth.
Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, different generations have, as you said, have different values sometimes. The baby boomers, I'm on the very tail end of the baby boomers. It was, you live to work, like you lean into your work. And hey, if you have a little time left over, maybe you do something fun. Well, you know, I actually admire the generations that work to live and they want to have a full life. They want to have, you know, that it's not all about working. And so making sure that people choose a job that shares their values. The other comment I wanted to make about that is that one of the things that I think is really super hard is that when you're just starting out, you look up to the leaders of the practice, typically the owners, and they model the way. And so if they are living to work, it's a natural thing to think, oh my God, I'm not measuring up. I want them to be proud of me. I want them, but that's not what, there's that friction, because that might not be how you want to live, but you want them to approve of you. So it is hard, and both sides really need to be aware of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. And it's certainly a, you know, a big part of, I think, again, that generational change that's occurring over the course of time. And, you know, I talk with students somewhat regularly about the idea of work-life balance. You know, the idea that it's a balance of quantity probably isn't going to happen and isn't sustainable in veterinary medicine, but a balance of quality can happen. where you balance out the quality of your personal life. And part of that goes back to what's your identity? You know, who are you as a person? What feeds back into you? What brings you joy? For a lot of the older veterinarians, that identity was being a veterinarian. And that's perfectly fine. And that's part of how they did their life. And there's nothing inherently wrong about that. It's just different, I think, for the younger veterinarians too, where that identity is outside of veterinary medicine, not entirely, but a large part of it comes from outside of veterinary medicine, and that's okay too.
Different.
Yes. And it's conflict that's going to happen and conflict that will eventually resolve over the course of time, and a new conflict will take its place, and we don't know what that is yet, but it's coming, right?
Very true.
I think, you know, some of the other pain points that came up inside of the survey, there's kind of been a void for guidance for the change and turnover that we now have quantified that happens in the early career. Getting an identification of our values as early career practitioners is a big component in terms of how we prioritize different aspects of our career. Again, going back to that identity side of who you are as a person and who you are as a professional. One of the things that we realized in the early career committee is that we don't have a great way to help these early career practitioners make those career changes, change over into jobs, pick jobs that are going to be right for them. But even more so, we are lacking the ability to really help them identify those values. And so that's one of the things we're putting a lot of effort into with our committee, is helping these young veterinarians identify personal and professional values. And then from there, how do we create a guide for those young veterinarians to choose positions that fit those values, that are going to help sustain those things that make them who they are? And on the flip side of that, then, as the practice owner or practice manager, how do you create practices that continue to push for the best, continue to push for recruiting, you know, veterinarians that not only fit their specific values, but also the practice's values, because that works from both sides on that. And a strong understanding of the practice values helps recruit veterinarians that fit those values, because they can identify the value within themselves too. So that's another big area that we're pushing for. The last, I think, pain point that really came up for us, something that I think is on everybody's mind, is the corporate influence in veterinary medicine. And that's probably a bigger fish than we want to fry in this particular episode. Yeah. But it's a double-edged sword. And I think people are realizing the good that comes from the corporate influence in terms of increases in salaries, structured hours, some of the things that really help create positive benefit packages for veterinarians and careers in veterinary medicine. But I think there's some concern still over the perception of what corporate ownership does to our industry. How does it change perception of value for clients, and how does it change how we practice? And I think those answers are still waiting to be discovered, that we don't have a good answer for that yet, just that it's changing. And so that's a thing that's was on the survey respondents' mind when they were coming back to us with pain points.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, the answer is still blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
100%. As a popular song from the baby boomers. Sad.
That's okay.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today about the survey, or anything even about early career veterinarians?
Yeah, I think there's two messages, right? The young and upcoming veterinarians, there's a message to them, and to the practice owners and established veterinarians, there's a message to them that comes from this survey and the results of this survey. You know, to the practice owners and to those established veterinarians, you know, the message from this survey is don't be afraid of change, because it's what people are looking for. You know, a desire for change is not a condemnation of the past. We can honor what's been done and the massive progress that's been made in the profession while still looking for ways to be better for both ourselves and our patients. And for the young veterinarians, there's a lot of change that's happening. So if you're looking to make a place for yourself in this profession, don't be discouraged. Your journey does not look like my journey. It does not look like the journey of anybody else around us. So keep pushing for what's best for you. Keep searching and know that there's a place for all of us inside of the equine veterinary profession.
I love this. I love what you've just said. Thank you. That's fabulous. It's a great message to both parties. I love when you said a request for change is not a condemnation of the past. Yep. That is a powerful statement. That's fabulous. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm excited for where this is going. And again, this this survey, the AAP's guidance with the Early Career Committee, the work that's being done by countless volunteer hours inside of the profession is making this a better place for all of us. And one that's built on a foundation of generations of great work that's come before us too.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. It's an exciting time though, because I agree with you that there is a place, people that want to be in equine veterinary medicine, there's a place for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's no reason that you can't get what you want out of this career. It's there for you. It's there to be made, and your path is there to be created for you. You just have to go seek the way that's going to work for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Lopnow, and thank you all for listening for the at the Business of Practice podcast today. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, and I say this every time, Zach, so you'll appreciate this. Be brave. Embrace change.